Our scripture reading for this morning is from the 6th chapter of Matthew. You have it on the back of your bulletin, and this is from the New International Version, the NIV. And I say that because I'm going to say something about the NIV as a part of the message, so just want you to know that. It's a very, very popular version. As a matter of fact, the NIV is the best-selling Bible in the world. Doesn't mean it's the best, but it's the best-selling. Matthew 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And may the Lord add His blessing to our reading of His word and to our hearing of it. I've already pointed you to your bulletin a couple of times. I'll point you there one more time. You probably noticed in your bulletin that the title of this message is Payola Piety. My thinking was, when you think of a pious person, you wouldn't normally use the word payola as a word related to him, to who he was. And that's because payola is a slang expression for getting like an undercover payoff, for getting a payment under the table, for being rewarded for something that nobody knows that was why you were doing it. Maybe a good example would be a young wanting to become well-known disc jockey being paid a big cash payment, like I said, under the table, not known. Not a deal that's known by, and it's done by the record company who wants to promote a new record. The disc jockey hopes playing that record multiple times will make him a well-known disc jockey. And besides that, he's being secretly rewarded. And see, when I think of a pious person, one who does religious things, that's piety. But I'm generally not thinking of him doing it because of some special reward he's going to get just because he does obviously pious things. So I hope it's obvious to you that I'm preaching right now. But picture this. If Jesus were to be preaching from this text today to our congregation, to a congregation of 21st century Americans, I'm suggesting that he might very well title his sermon, Payola Piety. And as I've tried to set the image, Payola piety is characterized by doing the right things with the wrong motives. That is, Jesus preaching a sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount, and that's all of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Preaching this sermon is here in this portion of the sermon saying that when a person... Now, let me rephrase that. Let us bring it down home to us, okay? Here and now. When you do something that appears to be religious, you may be doing what could be done or could be called the right things, but you may be doing those things with the wrong motives. Your wrong thinking may be this. To observers, you're thinking, hey, look at me. Isn't this good what I'm doing? And maybe you're thinking toward God, hey, look at me, Heavenly Father. Aren't I good? And aren't you going to give me some special reward for this? This is what I did only for getting the reward of admiration of other people, admiring that I'm so religious. Pious religious actions. But for payola? Well, because we have that human nature of loving reward, even false reward, Jesus points out how some of this works out, what we're to watch out for. You see, verses 1 and 2 get us started right away. By doing good deeds, but with the motive of being seen by people around us. That's what it's talking about. This is a theater-type religion, putting on a show. Actually, the key to the whole of the text that we have here in Matthew 6, what's on our bulletin, all of what's there, the key is in the first verse. Jesus says that the Christian is not to do his good deeds in front of others to be seen by them. Amen. Amen. Now, there's a Greek word that's used here, to be seen by them. And that Greek word is theathanai. Theathanai. And you can hear it. It's the word from which we get our word theater. In the theater, the actors are on the stage portraying a particular character, and they're there to be seen as that character by the observers. The actors are not really themselves. They're acting the part of a character. See? And then Jesus in verse 2 adds more emphasis to the fact that those who want to be his followers, that's us, Christians of today, we are not to do our good deeds for the sake of being seen as, look how religious he is, by others. He says that the hypocrites do their good deeds so that others can see their generosity. Now, I don't like to overuse Greek words of the New Testament, but sometimes, as in the Greek word for theatrics, that one helped us to add meaning relating to our artificial actions of putting on a show. Well, here's another Greek word that helps to explain. The word hypocrite, Jesus used in verse 2, comes from the Greek word for mask. In Greek theater, actors were often, there really weren't a lot of them. There were a minimum number of them. So one actor often would have to play several parts. And he did this by changing his voice and putting on a different mask. And by mask change, an actor could act the part of a man and a boy and a horse, all in the same play. Then from the Greek word that meant mask that actors wore, I would give you that word, but I can't pronounce it, we get the word hypocrite. The person, the hypocrite, is wearing a mask so he looks like something. He's not actually the one whom he portrays. He's merely playing like what the mask outwardly shows. Jesus chose to teach us about the difference between Payola piety, and private piety. He taught us in three major ways that we serve God, even through serving people. And that is sharing out of our abundance with those in need, and who it is that needs to hear our prayers, and spiritual discipline, especially as is practiced in fasting. Now, the first of those chosen by Jesus was the importance of giving to the needy. Again, language helps to clear barriers. We don't use some of the Greek words that the New Testament writers used when quoting Jesus, such as that word for theatrics. There was that Greek word, see, I can't even remember the Greek word right now. Just said it a couple minutes ago. So I used the English word theatrics, play acting by an actor. And I didn't go back and use the Greek word for mask. He's hiding behind a mask, and that makes him a hypocrite. Hypocrite's a word we know. So please forgive me. All who prefer using the King James Version, because I have a great love for the King James Version. But that version often uses words we don't use anymore. And we can come close to losing the meaning. For instance, like the word in those first verses of our text, the old-timey word in the King James is alms. And it goes like this, verse 2 of the King James. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, or in our more modern NIV, it says, so, when you give to the needy. Makes a little more understanding, doesn't it? More quickly. Well, Jesus understood the need in righteous spirituality to be one who gives freely to the needy. Or to say it in the King James way, the Jews attached much weight to the giving of alms. Jesus understood that a religious expression of selflessness, of seeing a person in need and helping with that need without making a display of it. You see, I think it's very clear that as a body of Christ, this church has a great focus on seeing the needs of others and responding by, well, without any fanfare, reaching back into the plenty that God blesses us with and giving freely toward that need. And it's a principle that each of us individually, as children of God, can and should practice, giving with our own bounty, the good Lord, giving with our own bounty that the good Lord has blessed us with. It's obvious that Jesus considered almsgiving, sharing with those in need, a major principle of the spiritual life. And his teaching is that our only motive for it is to understand that God wants that principle to live in and to come out of us. There's no doubt about it. The Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, were convinced that it was a God-blessed good to give alms to help the needy. But the most important clarification given us by Jesus is that God looks first at the inner motive rather than first at the outward act of charity. When people do their good deeds to bask in, to have the glory and praise of other people, they are guilty of payola piety. In that regard, I'm sorry to say, but someone else has said it well, that much, he said, that much more work for the Lord would be done in our churches if we didn't care who got the credit for doing it. So all I have to say is, let that not ever be said of Bosque Del Baptist Church. Let me summarize this by saying that the concept of personally giving generously to the needy is not necessarily a notion or a view that we in modern times give very much attention to. Yet Jesus spoke of that principle first, that it was of great importance in Judaism, his religion of the day, and he says, do it. So I gave more time and emphasis there so we see And we do this. Just don't do it to be observed. And by that observation, your piety wins you the payola of men. So don't do it to be observed. Then he includes two other major models of things that we do that are foundational to our relationship with God. But when we do them in order to be observed and appreciated by men, our religious piety, our standing with God, becomes negative rather than positive. And we've reverted to the dreaded payola piety, wanting to receive the kudos of others instead of from God. He spoke about praying, about a certain kind of praying, to be heard by men. Well, it's not like we pray together in worship, but just to have others observe our piety as one who's praying, doing the right thing, but with the wrong motive. Look at verses 5 and 7. Jesus presented two negative arguments against the sin of praying so others can hear you, so others can see it and give you admiration for doing it. Again, he turned to the hypocrites and the Pharisees of his day to give us an illustration. Versus many prayers. Many prayers. Mm-hmm. Many religion. That other second many is M-I-N-I. Many prayers. Not really a big religion. Daily prayer. Many times a day was important for the religious life of every Jew. A Pharisee would be sure to be in a public place when it came time to pray, in order that others might see him as he prayed, usually in an arrogant manner. He loved to be in the synagogue, where he would stand. He was never humble enough to kneel, with his arms stretched to heaven while he prayed. Another favorite place is mentioned in verse 5, on the street corners. In other words, when a Pharisee prayed on the corner of a street, he was standing in the middle of a crossroad so that people could see him from all four sides. It's plain to see that the hypocritical Pharisee prayed only to be seen by others. He was doing the right thing. He was praying, but with the wrong motive. Payola piety once more. A second prayer problem Jesus alerts to is vain repetitions. In verse 7, Jesus says that a Christian's praying is to avoid keeping on babbling like pagans. This is saying words with your lips without ever thinking about what they mean, and saying them over and over. This is a picture of a person who thinks he's the one God is going to hear because he prays the loudest or the longest, and others admire his prayers. Payola piety. The payment is not God's paying attention. Rather, the payola is to praise men. Now, the third issue Jesus chose of his, this is an issue of his times, was fasting to appear religious. This is in verse 16. In Jesus' day, there was one day in each year, the Day of Atonement, on which every Jew was required to fast. You can find that in Leviticus chapter 16. And from morning until evening, the Jew would go without food and water, no bathing, no grooming. It was called a Sabbath rest. You just didn't do anything for all that time. It was meant to be a proof to God of your repentance. But the Pharisees had made it a substitute for repentance, and they did it openly so that others would see the depth of their repentance. It's the same kind of payola piety. The somber look of the disfigured faces while fasting, the hypocritical mask wearing to show a religious image to mankind, not humble repentance to God. Fasting approved by Jesus because he included it in this teaching against payola piety, was to be done unnoticed, in secret. You put oil on your head and you wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father. Piety, but avoiding the payola of man's praise. Well, how does it hit you? Any of it hit home with you? What are the motives behind your good works? For today, I've joined with Jesus in examining three major good works God accepts as good when they're done correctly, in worship of His sovereignty, and definitely not for the payola of the liking and the admiration of men. In Matthew 6 here, we're seeing the judgment of Jesus that the scribes and Pharisees did many of their pious deeds primarily to be seen by others. Mm-hmm. They were playing for a price they got, the praise of men more than God's approval. And Jesus said in very plain terms, in the present tense, they have received their reward already.
Have mercy.
A final word. Every genuine Christian should be on the lookout for the attitudes behind payola piety, what we just looked at through the words of Jesus. And I believe and I recommend the best method of guarding against that is to live every minute of your life with a consciousness of the presence of God with and in you.
Amen.
Well, Corinne said amen before you did. Amen.
Amen.